This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, everyone. Fadhul Asmin Ayyim and Shaytan Ajim, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa al-Udwan illa ala al-Zalameen, wa al-Aqibatu lil-Muttaqeen, Allahumma salli wa sallam wa barik ala abdika wa rasulika Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam tasliman kathira. Welcome to our first webinar for Yaqeen Canada in Ramadan, Alhamdulillah, and we chose this time to talk about the Ramadan dip, just as we're getting into the 10th day now, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. And as every year, Ramadan is moving remarkably fast, and this year is no exception to that. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, we're prepared to address this, inshallah, from multiple angles. But I do first and foremost want to thank our co-sponsor of this event, Islamic Relief Canada. Since this is first and foremost a Canadian-specific event, inshallah ta'ala, just to elaborate that Yaqeen Canada has opened, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, in Canada. And we've been able to do joint programs with Islamic Relief Canada. And so if you are in Canada today, then inshallah ta'ala, we ask you to support our work in Canada. And Dr. Nazir can elaborate a little bit, inshallah ta'ala, before he goes into his topic, inshallah, as to where we're at in Canada and what types of things are happening there. And if you click on the donate button, inshallah ta'ala, it will take you to Islamic Relief Canada's page, which is launching a specific campaign for Yaqeen. And if you're joining from other than Canada, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, we welcome you as well. We'll try to speak American English throughout this entire program, except for Dr. Nazir. I can't promise that he'll follow the proper process, but we'll do our best, inshallah. But you're welcome to donate as well, inshallah. There's a button for you. And we want to thank everyone for being so generous to Yaqeen and to all the wonderful organizations and institutions that are out there. And again, a special thanks to Islamic Relief Canada. So Dr. Nazir, actually, before we get into the discussion, inshallah ta'ala, can you just talk a little bit about where Yaqeen Canada is at now, just some of the things that have happened in Canada and what to anticipate?
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salam ala rasulullah wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa mawala. Jazakallah khair, Sheikh Omar, for that introduction. So as Sheikh Omar mentioned, alhamdulillah, we have launched Yaqeen Canada. And you know, initially you might wonder, well, why do we have a Yaqeen Canada, Yaqeen Institute? It's global. We've got a website. People can access the material around the world. There's a lot of benefits of having specific chapters of Yaqeen outside of the United States. So Yaqeen Canada is the first one that we've established. And what we're doing at Yaqeen Canada is, in addition to doing some grassroots activities, partnering with different masajid, different Muslim students associations, different Muslim organizations in order to empower those organizations. What we're also doing is we're actually developing content that is specific to the Canadian context. So we have, mashallah, a large roster and a large team of Muslim Canadian researchers researching subjects in Islamic studies, researching subjects that are particular to the Canadian Muslim community. That includes the topic of Islamophobia in Canada. It includes topics related to some of the social issues that are being experienced by Muslim youth, newcomers in Canada, different societal issues. So there's a whole bunch of different issues that we're looking at specifically in the Canadian context. We're looking at what are the unique challenges that are confronting Canadian Muslim imams? What are the mental health challenges that are often presented to imams and counselors and chaplains in the Canadian Muslim community? So there's a lot of content that is specific to the Canadian audience. There's a lot of events and programming that's also specific to the Canadian audience. So we've been doing speaking tours in Canada. We've been doing different workshops held at different masajid. And then we have conviction circles being run at our different Muslim Students Association, Muslim schools. So all of this material that's coming to the Canadian audience we're very excited to be able to do this. And alhamdulillah, you know, it's something we've been able to do with the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and with the support of people, tuning into Yaqeen and supporting Yaqeen. So alhamdulillah, we're very excited with the progress that we've made, and bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's help and permission, we'll be able to do a lot more as well, inshallah ta'ala.
Inshallah ta'ala. And of course, as we're also, you know, trying our best, inshallah ta'ala, to make sure that we're benefiting the institutions and all the, you know, and launching new programs in Yaqeen Canada. Yaqeen Canada also supports the overall mission of Yaqeen globally, alhamdulillah, but I mean, contributing to the entire makeup of our global efforts. So Yaqeen now is in the US, in Canada, in Malaysia, alhamdulillah, but I mean, as well. And we're blessed to be here with you today in Canada. So to get into the subject, inshallah ta'ala, the Ramadan dip, we can anticipate it, we can prepare for it, but once you start to experience it, you have to fight off all sorts of challenges, spiritual challenges, emotional challenges, mental challenges, and think, okay, how do I reclaim my Ramadan? And it can really feel like it's falling apart very quickly if you don't adjust in very practical ways, inshallah ta'ala. And that's the goal of this webinar today. I want to start off from the framing, from the perspective of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and how he addressed in general things that often get lost. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam talked about times that get lost as being the most blessed of times. So if you remember when we talked about Sha'ban, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that is a month yughfalu nasu an, that people become heedless of because it's between Rajab and Ramadan, and so people tend to neglect the month of Sha'ban. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam talked about the hours in the day that people tend to either be asleep or neglectful of, and that a person who is in pursuit of Allah's pleasure should shine in those hours as much as they can to really try to gain the full goal of being forgiven in that particular day. How does this translate into the month of Ramadan? Well, first and foremost, every night of Ramadan is blessed. And as we're preparing for the 20th day of Ramadan, going into the 21st night, and then the blessed last 10 nights of Ramadan, we have to remember that your night of being forgiven in Ramadan could be the 15th night of Ramadan, it could be the 17th night of Ramadan, because every night, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has people whom He frees from the hellfire in Ramadan. And that night could be the night that you don't think much of in terms of its significance, but it's a night where you connect to Allah in a special way. And that's the night that Allah chooses for you to be forgiven. And so it's important to shine. And I'll mention one saying of Abdullah ibn Amr ibn As, radiallahu ta'ala anhumah, who speaks about the presence of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and what that did for him spiritually and what it did for the companions. And to remind everyone that the Sahaba of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, what they experienced in the death of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and before the death of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in extended periods of distance from the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is very instructive for us in terms of how we carry faith through times that are that are often lost. And so usually a hadith like the one I'm about to mention, or a narration like the one I'm about to mention, is mentioned after Ramadan, but I want you to think about it now in terms of capitalizing on the special time. He says that, he said after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for me to do a good deed now is twice as beloved to me than when the Prophet ﷺ was alive, because when we were with the Prophet ﷺ, all we thought about was the hereafter, but now we're swarmed or we're flooded with thoughts of the dunya. We're flooded once again with our thoughts of this material world. And so to shine in times where others take a break, where others sit back, is special. With that being said, of course we should be preparing for the last 10 nights. It's a marathon. You hear us talk about this all the time, right? When you're in a race, you have very intentionally times that you specify for running a little bit faster, for taking not a break, but running at a slower pace intentionally to prepare yourself for the last stretch. And so these are all things that we need to take into consideration when talking about, just like Sha'ban is lost between Rajab and Ramadan, and to all of our middle children that are out there, I'm sorry, you know, my wife is a middle child. I'm not a middle child. I don't know what that feels like, but they always talk about how the middle child gets lost. Consider the middle 10 days as the middle child of Ramadan. So we've got to cater to the middle child, inshallah ta'ala, and see how we can make the most of it. So Dr. Nazar, I'll start with you, inshallah ta'ala. Again, just how do we revisit the primary goals of Ramadan? Right? How do we stay connected to the ultimate goals of Ramadan when we're talking about this mid Ramadan dip? And I'll welcome Sister Sada, Sister Tasneem to chime in as well, inshallah. You're on mute, Dr. Nazar.
Right. Okay, Bismillah. So that's a great starting point, because as the month of Ramadan starts to progress, we really do need to go back and revisit our original goal and our original intention. And the hadith that I always like to cite and remind ourselves of is the hadith of the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, related in Sunan Ibn Majah, where the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, "Rubba sa'im laysa lahu min siyamihi illa al-ju'a, wa rubba qa'im laysa lahu min qiyamihi illa sahar." That it may be that a person fasts the entire day in Ramadan, and they get nothing out of it except for they get nothing out of it except for hunger. And it may be a person stands the night of Ramadan in prayer, and they get nothing out of it except a lack of sleep. So this is the scenario we don't want to fall into, right? We don't want to fall into that scenario where we're going through the rituals of Ramadan, but our hearts are in a state of ghafla. Our hearts are in a state of heedlessness, where we're not attentive to the actual goals of Ramadan. And so we're going through the day, we're just passively not eating or drinking, but we're not turning it into an act of ibadah. We're not turning it into an act of worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Or we're standing the night in Taraweeh, in Qiyam al-Layl, we're just passively listening to the Imam's recitation, and we're not actually making an opportunity for our hearts to come closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So how do we get out of that situation, where we're just going through the motions with our body and we're not actually experiencing the spiritual nourishment that Ramadan is meant to provide us? The way to get out of that situation is to go back to what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Surah Al-Baqarah, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala introduces to us the obligation of fasting and the month of Ramadan. So there's two goals that are mentioned in this passage, right? If we look at verse 183 to 185 of Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu kutiba alaykum as-siyam kama kutiba ala alladhina min qablikum la'allakum tattaqun." O you who believe, fasting has been prescribed for you as it was prescribed for those before you. Why? So that you may attain taqwa. So that's the first goal that's mentioned, taqwa. And the second goal that's mentioned two verses later is where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Walitukmilu al-'idda walitukabbiru Allah 'ala ma hadakum wa la'allakum tashkurun." So that you may complete this month of fasting, so that you may magnify the praises of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and so that you may show gratitude, so that you may show thankfulness. So these two goals, I want to really focus in here on these two goals, are taqwa, the mindfulness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, consciousness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, reverence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And number two is shukr, gratitude of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Coming to the first goal, how do we ensure that this month of Ramadan is a month in which we're actually developing taqwa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, mindfulness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? A lot of people, they approach goals in a way that I think sets them up for failure, which is that they approach their activities in Ramadan or throughout the year as a list of tasks that they need to do, okay? And they're trying to sustain these tasks, and it's like juggling juggling balls, and eventually you drop the ball and then you blame yourself, right? Instead of looking at them as repetitive tasks, looking at your journey in Ramadan as a path towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with goals, and each step that you're taking is making progress towards your destination. So when we think about it, there's the beautiful tradition that says, "Man tasawa yawmahu fahuwa maghbun." If two consecutive days in your life are the same, then you've cheated yourself. You've lost out on a valuable opportunity. So every single day, we should be striving to be a better human being than we were the previous day, a better worshiper of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than we were the previous day, a more grateful servant of Allah, a better spouse, a better parent, a better child. Every single day, we're trying to experience growth. Rather than trying to accomplish a list of tasks, we're instead trying to look at what we can do to sustain growth in our journey towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why the best goals to implement during the month of Ramadan are going to be goals that you're going to carry on after Ramadan as well. أَحَبُّ الْأَعْمَالِ إِلَى اللَّهِ أَدْوَمُهَا وَإِنْ قَلْ. The most beloved deeds to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are those that are done regularly, even if they are few. So rather than trying to read an enormous amount of Quran during the month of Ramadan without reflection, without contemplation, and then not participating in any Quran recitation after the month, set yourself up with a goal that is going to be consistent, something that you're going to keep on doing after the month of Ramadan as well. The other important thing to nurture our connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that connection of taqwa, is to engage in more dua during this month of Ramadan, to call out to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to supplicate to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Imam Ibn Kathir, rahimahullah, he mentioned something beautiful in his tafsir. He asked an interesting question. Why is it that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the verses about fasting, and then before the verses about the regulations of iftar, between the verses about fasting and the verses about breaking the fast, there is a verse inserted that mentions the virtue of dua? وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ. When my servant asks concerning me, then verily I am most close. Imam Ibn Kathir says the virtue, the wisdom behind that is that it is a hint for us of the virtue of dua before the time of iftar, or virtue of dua during the time when one's fasting. So a person is fasting, and then before the time that they break their fast, they should increase in their dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Take a moment where you put aside the distractions. Take a moment for yourself where you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala about the things that are most valuable to you. You ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for His forgiveness, for His mercy. You ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to alleviate the suffering of our brothers and sisters around the world. So you take a moment aside to increase in your dua. The more dua that we do, the more we feel our hearts drawing closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second goal that we mentioned is the goal of shukr. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ. And shukr is something that is such a powerful theme that is mentioned throughout the Quran that we don't contemplate on as much as we should, the concept of gratitude. It's something that is mentioned 75 times in the Quran. We are told in the Quran that prophets made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make them more grateful. رَبِّ أَوْزِعْنِي أَنْ أَشْكُرْ نِعْمَتَكَ. Oh my Lord, enable me to be more grateful for your blessings. Gratitude is something that recently the field of positive psychology has paid more attention to as well. In research that was done at UC Berkeley on the subject of gratitude, the positive benefits of just writing down things that you're grateful for, they noted that the people who did this regularly, practiced gratitude regularly, they experienced so many physical benefits, such as 10% lower risk of stress-related illness. They found that people with high blood pressure because of stress were able to lower their blood pressure by 12% just by practicing regular thankfulness. They found that youth who practice gratefulness on a regular basis are 10 times less likely to start smoking, 20% more likely to get an A in school. All of these physical benefits just out of practicing gratefulness regularly. And what's even more amazing is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in the Quran, وَإِذْ تَأَذَّنَ رَبُّكُمْ لَإِنْ شَكَرْتُمْ لَأَزِيدَنَّكُمْ. The more we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the more Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives and gives and gives to us. So taqwa and shukr, mindfulness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and gratitude, these are really two essential values that we need to ensure that we cultivate during this month of Ramadan. And so that's the important thing. In order to have sustained growth, we need to go back to the sources of motivation. And that's the goals that we're trying to achieve during this month of Ramadan.
JazakAllah khair. Would either of you like to chime in on that?
I just wanted to add something that you said that really rang true personally to me, is that a lot of times we have a whole set of tasks. We have all of these things that we've set out to accomplish. And sometimes what happens is that those goals become just that, right? They become only tasks where we're just trying to knock it off our list. Tarawih time comes, all right, just got to get in through a few rak'ahs. I just got to get this over with so I can get to sleep. Then you go to sleep, I just got to get up so I can pray two rak'ahs, eat suhoor, go back to sleep. And we go into this sort of mechanical phase where we lose the value, we lose that question of why are we even doing any of this, right? So a lot of times it's really important to just stop and ask ourselves before we engage in what is a task, why are we doing what we're doing, and are we getting what we want out of that? So it's a good reminder.
Absolutely, mashallah, no, jazakumullah khairan. I think also what was coming up for me as you were talking about all of these points was the importance of intentionality, right? Like, you're discussing the importance of the intentionality of the actual act of worship. And I think one thing that I find really powerful is transforming the everyday acts during Ramadan into acts of worship as well through intention. And so it can go both ways. You know, you do this act of worship and it doesn't even count for you because the intention is not there. You've lost sight of the purpose, you've lost sight of the goal. But the opposite can be true, that something that's just so, it seems so minor, something that seems really mundane, can then in the same way become an act of worship through that same intention. So I think it's a really powerful way to incorporate hasanat into our daily life in Ramadan, inshallah.
So Sister Sara, while it's with you, can you talk about the sense of disappointment that people have in themselves? So you have these goals in Ramadan that you have, and you don't meet the goals, and you hear them re-emphasized once again as the primary goals of Ramadan, but you don't feel like you're getting anywhere closer to taqwa or shukr in the grand sense. And you also see that you're falling short on some of the very quantifiable goals that you set for yourself in the beginning of Ramadan. Can you talk a little bit about the disappointment and how to deal with the disappointment of that?
Absolutely. Jazakumullah khairan. Bismillah. You know, this is every single Ramadan, this is a conversation that comes up with me and my fellow mom friends. You know, like this is something that is a constant discussion where everybody is incredibly hard on themselves because they haven't read enough Quran, because they haven't done all of the different things that they were intending to do during the month of Ramadan. And I'm sure a lot of people listening in have that same feeling of disappointment. And it's not just from this lack of motivation that comes as we kind of reach the middle of Ramadan and lose a little bit of steam, but there's sometimes a sense of loss and failure that, you know, feeling like I'm not honoring Ramadan in the way that I had anticipated I would, right? And so, you know, if once we've reached this point of disappointment, like a lot of us do, I think it's very important to exercise some self-compassion and use this as motivation to move forward rather than expending energy in holding yourself back. And what I mean by that is, you know, we tend to focus on what we failed at in the past, even though that's not changeable, right? So we put in a lot of energy into regretting the things that we can't change, rather than putting energy into focusing in on what we can change, which is the present moment. And in reality, you know, like Sheikh Omar was saying about every night of Ramadan is a blessing, right? Every moment of Ramadan is a blessing, right? And every moment is a new opportunity to make a fresh choice in what we're going to choose to do. So it's a gift from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we have the opportunity to grasp, inshallah. So channeling our energy to ask ourselves in focusing in on the now, what can I do now rather than focusing in on what I think I should have done then, right? So focusing in on now rather than then. And, you know, the Rasulullah ﷺ talks about this and he provides the antidote to this type of thinking where he says that if anything befalls you, don't say, if only I had done such and such. He says, rather say, قَدْرَ اللَّهُ وَمَشَاءَ أَفْعَلْ, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed whatever he wills, and he has decreed something, and whatever he wills, he does. Right. And so this is, and then he also says that if opens the door for shaitan, right? Because that's how we lose our time, is we're too busy thinking about all those ifs and we don't take advantage of the now. The other thing that I think is really important is prioritizing, right? When we're feeling this sense of disappointment in what we have not accomplished, allowing ourselves to focus in on our priorities can really help with this. The start of the hadith that I just mentioned about not saying, if only I had done this and this, in that hadith, Rasulullah ﷺ says, strive for that which will benefit you. إحرص على ما ينفعك, right? And then he says, and seek the help of Allah and do not feel helpless. Again, antidotes in these situations, where if you focus on what's going to benefit you, you reassess your goals to prioritize that which is most beneficial for you personally in connecting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then in seeking the help of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, every act of worship, you know, that we do is accomplished due to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and wanting in us wanting to get closer to him and him wanting us to get closer to him as well. And then not to feel helpless, right? The moment that we start to feel a sense of helplessness and powerlessness, it takes away our chance for creating new change. So instead of using the past days of Ramadan as a form of regret, use it as a form of like a learning opportunity to now you see, okay, in the past 10 days, I thought I was going to be able to read a full juz of Quran every day. And not once in the past 10 days has it been feasible, you know, because of your work schedule, because you're a parent to young children, because of whatever circumstances might be happening. And so now you have these past 10 days as data, basically, to figure out, okay, if I was not able to do that, then what am I able to do? Because sometimes it's just as important to know what is not feasible as what is feasible, right? And so instead of continually seeking this impossible standard, and it's good to have high goals, right? But an impossible goal is just going to leave you feeling really disappointed and is going to actually prevent you from continuing to strive and continuing to try. And so, you know, like when the Rasulullah is saying, you know, don't feel helpless. Helplessness, you know, in this type of situation, a lot of times we fall into this category of what's called all or nothing thinking, where we think if I can't do it perfectly, then it's, I'm just not going to do it at all. And so, you know, I would challenge you to say, you know, okay, if you're 100% is reading a full juz of Quran a day, and that hasn't been feasible, all right, what does 10% look like? What does 20% look like? Because something is always better than nothing. And a lot of times that something can grow into a lot more. The Rasulullah, when he was approached with you know, this woman who said that, you know, she's a woman that never sleeps because she's constantly praying. And the Rasulullah says that you must only perform deeds that you're capable of doing, right? So doing, and he also encouraged us to do deeds properly, sincerely, and moderately. Right. So even if the goal isn't quite what you wanted originally, right? I went through the Quran. I was like, what if, you know, you only read half a page of Quran a day? I went through half a page from Surah Al-Baqarah and I counted the letters on half a page before I realized that I could just multiply a line, you know, but I went through and I counted them. And, you know, there were 288 letters on half a page of Quran, and I calculated it, and that's at least, if you multiply by 10, for every one letter, you get 10 hasanat. That's at least 2,800 hasanat. And if in Ramadan can be up to 700 or even more, which would be 201,600 good deeds for reading half a page of Quran, right? So it's not nothing, you know, it is definitely something. And then the other thing, which, you know, I had briefly mentioned in response before about the idea of doing things with intentionality, right? Focusing in on the things that are your strengths personally, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created different paths to Jannah because He created us differently. He created our circumstances differently, our personalities differently, right? So we each have different strengths because of our circumstances. So if you're a parent, you know, quenching the thirst and hunger of your child with the right intention is incredibly rewarding. Right. You know, we've heard the hadith about the man who never went to bed angry, and that being something so rewardable, treating our neighbors with kindness, so rewardable. Right. So reconsidering our daily life and considering the ways that we can transform these parts of our lives with intentionality to make the things that we're already doing into acts of worship to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the last thing I just wanted to mention, which I think is very important to realize, because I think a lot of us are trying to do things through willpower alone, right? Like we have these goals and we say, okay, I'm going to get up and I'm going to do this. In reality, willpower almost always fails. And there's research that shows this. And so what research has found that's actually really effective is habits. So associating acts of worship, like attaching an act of worship that you want to increase in to something that is already a habit is going to make it a lot easier to stick with it. So, you know, whatever is in your daily life as a habit. So for me, you know, it's things like washing dishes and doing laundry and, you know, things like that with kids around. And so for me, I said, okay, if I'm already doing that, then what act of worship can I attach to that time so that I don't forget it? So that it becomes a part of my daily life. And so dhikr would, you know, that's my routine now. I hope, inshallah, to keep it that way, that it's associating dhikr with something that's already endless, which is dishes. And so that the dhikr can then be increased, inshallah. So creating these habits and attaching them to already current habits. So it could be things like looking for signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's, his mercy. Whenever you hear your child laughing, making it a point to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his mercy. Whenever you see the food on the table or in the fridge, thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his provision. Things that are already being done on a daily basis, if you attach it to that, it can be a lot easier, inshallah.
That's excellent. Would anyone like to chime in on that?
One of the things that came to mind as we were listening to that beautiful point about the different types of ibadat, right? The different types of worship. There's a hadith in Sahih Muslim where the Prophet Muhammad was traveling with some of his companions on a journey. And some of the companions were engaged in a voluntary fast, and the day was very hot, and some of the companions chose to break their fast. And the ones who were fasting were too weak and fatigued to do any of the chores, while the other ones, they pitched the tents, they watered the mounds, and they prepared everything. And the Prophet Muhammad ﷺ said, "Dhahab al-muftiruna al-yawma bil-ajr," right? Those who broke their fast, they were the ones who got, the ajr, the reward. And it just reminds me that, in a household where there's so many chores to do, right? Looking after the kids, preparing food for the iftar, cleaning, doing the laundry, all these different chores, people have to share the burden and realize these are also acts of ibadat, right? It's not that one person gets all the time to recite the Quran and do their, spiritual reflection, and the other person's doing all the chores. No, these are all acts of ibadat, and we have to, share in them in order that we all partake in that reward, inshallah ta'ala.
Sheikh Omar, if you have nothing to add, that's actually the perfect transition to what I'm going to be talking about.
All right. So I don't even need to ask you the question, right? Just, what are the different ways we can keep ourselves involved in ibadah? So how do you switch it up? So bismillah, go ahead and make your...
I think that exactly what both of you had shared in terms of changing your ibadah, changing your routine is one thing, but also knowing the value still remains in that change of worship is very important. And one of my favorite discussions on this topic comes from Ibn Qayyim in his book, Madarij al-Sadiqeen, where he talks about the four best types of worship. And they sort of build on one another, and he culminates with what he argues, I guess, and what I would believe to be the best form of worship. So he starts up and says, the first type of worship that people, categorize themselves in, the habits they fall into, are those types of people that they look for the hardest challenge, right? Whatever it is that makes me so thirsty, whatever it makes me that like, I'm going to stay up all night and pray, whatever it is, I'm going to read all this Quran, that they enjoy, that their souls feel refreshed by pushing themselves to the limits, right? And none of these forms of worship are something bad, right? Any form of worship taken in moderation is fantastic. He's just describing them. Talks about the first one, right? And there's probably a lot of us out there that this Ramadan, it might be your first time reading the Quran in Arabic. It might be your first time trying to do a full khitmah where you're reading the Quran from cover to cover. These are things that are challenging for a lot of people, and don't undermine that, right? That's that just because someone else might find something easy and you're struggling with it, we know from the Prophet himself that you are actually getting more reward. And so this group of people love to challenge themselves to do things that really pushes their soul to the limits in order to experience, in order to really tame their nafs, their self, and gain that discipline in order for in seeking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's pleasure, and hopefully the harder the effort they put in, the more reward they get. So that's the first type. The second type are the people that personally like to, abstain from the world. They want to renounce their engagement with the world. They want to sort of cut back on a lot of things that they've done just so they can engage in dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, so that they can connect with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on a very intimate level. Now, I think all of us fall in this category nowadays, right? We are forced to sort of be put in this place of worldly renunciation. And guess what? This is a great opportunity to sort of experience this different form of worship. And for those of us who are, you know, very active in terms of going to social gatherings and doing things that are outside of the realm of strict dhikr, this is something, is an opportunity for us to say, you know, hey, let's give this a shot and experience the pleasure that a lot of people experience from connecting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at this intimate level. The third type, and I think a lot of us, again, might fall into this category, are those who love to benefit others, right? So they value so much the type of worship, the type of ibadah, the type of pleasure Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gets when you're in the service of others. So those of you volunteering, whether it's distributing masks, whether it's making sure people get food, whether it's, you know, doing anything to serve the community, sort of what you think to be on the other end of the spectrum from the category above, that that they really abide by, you know, the concepts of adallu ala al-khayri kafa'idihi, the one who leads someone to good is the one, you know, is the one who does it, right? That man da'a ila huda min lahu kana lahu min al-ajri mithlu, that whoever leads someone to what is good, huda, guidance here, gets the same exact reward. So they're engaging the community, they're providing those services as a Muslim, they're doing good in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in hopes of representing Islam, in hopes of, you know, being that source of hope and guidance for others. So it's not, they're not necessarily spending their nights in the masjid praying, they're not necessarily reading, you know, pushing themselves to read the most difficult ayat or memorize the difficult ayat. They're spending their time in the service of others in hopes that that service is a means for people to come closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as a means to come closer to Islam. And now finally, the best for last, according to Ibn Qayyim, is that they're the type of people who do what? Whatever the time and place call for. Right? So this is what Sheikh Omar had talked about earlier, is that when it's time to worship, when it's time to do, you know, focus on dhikr and really get intimate with that, that's their time, they're gonna take advantage of it. When it's time to push yourself to read Quran that's difficult to memorize, to hit your, you know, not hit the snooze alarm, to get up for tahajjud, they make that time, they make that effort. When it's time to benefit others, when it's time to, you know, to go out and give back to the community, they're there. And really this is something that, of course, is what we all want to aim for. We don't want to limit ourselves to one form of worship, and we want to be able to explore different types of worship. And this is particularly important and relevant now in Ramadan, because what happens is that we've probably spent, you know, day in and day out for the past 10 days just reading as much Quran as we can, or really going in hard for Taraweeh, whatever it is, that one thing that we've been doing super consistently, but now we're starting to get to that peak and think to ourselves like, all right, how much longer can I last? I can say it first. Today, I felt it really badly. You know, I woke up tired and thinking to myself, all right, I got to keep this momentum. What am I going to do? And so when it comes to example, for example, to Quran, you know, not just approaching the Quran for what the Quran is, but spending time, allotting time for specifically for reflection. So maybe you've been reading a juz every single day. Maybe you've been reading half a page, but you're going to say, you know what, for the next 10 days, I'm going to cut back. I'm going to do my 10%, 20%, whatever it is that you think you can manage moving forward. And I'm going to spend an extra few minutes instead of, you know, that time I spent trying to get through a whole juz, I'm going to replace a few minutes and just think about what are these ayat trying to tell me. I'm going to watch Quran 30 for 30. I'm going to read a tafsir. I'm going to do something to cultivate that experience on a different level. You're going to change it up, right? And also, what Sara mentioned in terms of the ibadah when it comes to your family and doing typical chores, this is something that we undermine a lot. I undermine a lot, right? When it comes to calling, checking in on your parents, when it comes to, you know, doing things for your family, for your spouse, for your children, that it's literally ibadah. This is, you're actually getting edged for it. And so again, so the type, this category, the person who basically morphs to whatever the time and place calls for, when it comes to, you know what, I gotta spend an hour cooking, or I've gotta, you know, go clean up, I'm doing the dishes, I'm doing the laundry, when you have that intention, when you know that this for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's a best form of worship, that you know what this time of day calls for with this time of week, whatever it is, and you accept that and know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is rewarding you for that. And so everything that you do, every time and place, right, when you wake up in the morning, there are certain things that are better. Sometimes that best is doing adhkar, sometimes that best is making the bed, right? So being wary, always thinking about where am I now? What time is it? How can I be the best person, the best servant to those around me, and therefore the best servant to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So really changing it up in a way and knowing that change does not mean you are now doing less or less form of ibadah, right? That it's still just as great in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I want to conclude with this point here that Ibn Qayyim says, you know, about this person, about this fourth category, is that when you look around, you see that the scholar sitting around, you see that person with them. When you look around and you see that person going out to the community and feeding the poor, you see that person with them. When you see people doing dhikr in a circle of dhikr, doing dhikr by themselves, you see that person there. And when you see people donating for, you know, donating to charity, donating to causes that are needed, you see that person there. So it's so important when the time and place calls for it, when we're together trying to support a really good cause, trying to support our spirituality, nourish our souls, we want to be where the place and time call for.
And that's what Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah said, right? That the most beloved action to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one that is best prescribed for that place or time. And subhanAllah, right now, I think that as we're going into these middle 10, it's very important that one thing that you all emphasized was dhikr, some form of dhikr, right? Some form of remembrance. And I think it's probably the most underestimated form of ibadah in general, and especially in Ramadan, because you could do dhikr in so many different ways. Reciting the Quran is a form of dhikr. Salah is a form of dhikr. Washing dishes and doing dhikr. Walking and doing dhikr. I'm tired. If I'm laying down and I'm trying to get my midday nap in, I can do dhikr until I fall asleep and then do dhikr when I wake up. Orienting ourselves towards dhikr. And there's a very beautiful saying from Imam Zuhri, rahimahullah ta'ala, recorded in Bukhari, that a tasbih in Ramadan, saying subhanAllah one time in Ramadan, is 1,000 times more rewardable than it is outside of Ramadan. And you have these letters of the Quran, which is very empowering, subhanAllah. If I fell short of my Quran goal, and I can still look back and say, well, alhamdulillah, still amounts to this, may Allah Azza wa Jal accept. Keep your tongue busy with dhikr. Keep your heart busy with the presence that's necessary for the moment. Keep your thoughts engaged in gratitude, and keep your eye on that prize, right? This is Ramadan. Allah Azza wa Jal brought us here to accept it from us, bidnillahi ta'ala. The same spirit, you know, when you say, Allahumma innaka afuwan tuhibbu al-afwa fa'afu anni. Oh Allahumma innaka afuwan kareemun tuhibbu al-afwa fa'afu anni. Oh Allah, you are the forgiving one. You are the generous one. You love to forgive, so forgive me. Though that is the dua that is most beloved in the last 10 nights of Ramadan, that is the spirit that is throughout the month of Ramadan and our relationship with Allah Azza wa Jalla, that Allah did not bring me to this blessed season except to forgive me, so long as I hold up my end of the deal. And I'm going to keep on trying and adjusting and trying to make my best effort. So, you know, don't be too down, depressed, feel low about your goals not being met, because you never know, subhanAllah, the goal of forgiveness might have already been achieved. Allah conceals that from us to keep you active, right? So, you know, when you read about those ahadith, about the small deeds that got someone into Jannah, when they weren't even thinking about, you know, that man that was walking on the street did not think, right now, if I remove this harmful thing from the road, do you mean to tell me that I get Jannah? He just did it, right? He did it. He made the intention to do something pleasing to Allah, and he removed something from the road. And the Prophet ﷺ said he strolls in Jannah now, right? So the goal is the forgiveness and pleasure of Allah. And we have a Lord that loves to forgive and to show his pleasure to his believers. He wouldn't have brought us here. And that's our husn al-dhan in Allah, good assumption of Allah, Azza wa Jal, without wanting that for us, bidnillahi ta'ala. And so we pray that that will be the case. Does anyone else have anything to add to what Sister Tasneem just shared?
I wanted to say jazakallah khairan to both of you for the reminders that you shared. I as I'm like sitting here, I'm like, we should do an infographic for moms with like these things that you all are sharing, because it really made me feel great hearing all of these different things, mashallah. I think that the idea of that level that Sister Tasneem, you were mentioning, that Ibn al-Qayyim was saying about, it's all about addressing the need, right? Like addressing the need in that moment and what's most beneficial and what's most necessary, you know, because, you know, even if there's something that somebody in our lives or something that is a huge need within the community or whatever it is that needs to be addressed, but instead we are looking towards something else because we imagine that to be better. It's, you know, it's the idea of taking in the opportunities that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends us rather than waiting for the opportunities that we thought we should have, you know, to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so that's what it reminded me of, is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends us all of these amazing opportunities to worship Him, but sometimes we let them go. And it goes back to what Dr. Nazir was saying about heedlessness, right? Sometimes we let them go because either we don't notice them or we dismiss them because they don't come in the form that we anticipated. Right. And so I think one of the keys is, you know, looking for the ability to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the way He's sending us and the opportunities that He's sending our way. And that's, so that's what I was taking from what both of you were sharing there.
And Sister Sara, and I'm going to just kind of, I'm going to ask both you and Tasneem probably about this. But if you could just share, you know, you've been, alhamdulillah, you're a fellow at Yaqeen, and you've worked on some incredible resources for people at Yaqeen, the trauma series. And as soon as COVID broke out, yourself and Sister Najwa co-authored numerous things, Dr. Uthman Amarji, Dr. Nazir as well. And there have been infographics that have been made out of them, things of that sort. Could you kind of give a snapshot as to what's available at Yaqeen for people to sort of cope with their mental health, and particularly as we're in this era of Ramadan?
Absolutely. It's been such a, you know, an honor to be able to participate in this. And it's been a very moving experience for both, you know, Najwa and I have talked about it very often. Alhamdulillah. You know, we were asked by Sheikh Omar to write this, the trauma series, because we had come to the realization that there was a huge link between trauma and faith. People who had experienced a lot of trauma in their lives, their faith had gotten shaken, right? And so, mashallah, Yaqeen stepped up as usual to address the need to alleviate the doubts that could arise because of psychological reasons, right? Not always the faith-based reasons, but knowing that sometimes doubts is, you know, are not about the state of your heart, but more about the state of your mind, right? And so that's what that resource, it's there's still a couple of pieces to be released in that series. But I think altogether it's gonna be about 12 pieces in that series, all addressing different ways that that trauma and different negative thought patterns can impact, can yield thoughts, faith-based doubts in us, and addressing it from a psychological and Islamic perspective.
May Allah bless you. And of course, not only did you all produce those pieces, but alhamdulillah, the creative team turn them into animations and infographics that are specific to the COVID era, specific to Ramadan and coping with stress and moving forward. And that's something that we try to do. We also have a dua book that was written, which is incredible for du'as, supplications for times of hardship and anxiety. It's a thorough book. It's got explanations for each dua by Dr. Bahar Wai. It's beautifully done, designed, inshallah. And it's a free ebook that people can download. And Sister Tasneem, can you talk about, you know, academy, conversations, conviction circles, classroom, all the different things that people could be engaged with Yaqeen right now in their homes, their institutions, their communities, their families, and as individuals?
Yeah, no, alhamdulillah, it's actually really exciting. You know, the papers that we've created, we had a lot of different, you know, big picture ideas in mind. We're going to create curriculum, we're going to create conviction circles, we're going to create all of these products where we're providing it to communities that are coming, they're gathering and meeting. So when, you know, all of this, this sort of lockdown happened, it was incredible, the ability for the team to sort of rebound and revision how these different products can be used differently. And so right away, you know, our curriculum that we've been working on for the past year that is meant for full-time Islamic schools or weekend schools, alhamdulillah, we're able to assemble a whole team and provide an online class teaching that very curriculum. So we have our own teachers. We were able to switch the whole formatting so it was online friendly, right? We had a lot of activities planned that were meant for like for students to come together in classes and having posters on, you know, where you're walking and moving around. But there, you know, a group of volunteers came together and said, listen, we'll take it and we're going to switch everything so that even if you're sitting at home by yourself, you can still benefit just as much. And so now every week we have a classroom session where we teach the Yaqeen Curriculum, which is based on Yaqeen publications. So it's a really incredible experience where you can meet, that is tailored for high school students who are now potentially having a lot more time on their hands or a lot more interest in trying to find something different, to learn something new. And this opportunity is really just waiting for them. So that's that if you want, you know, a structured curriculum, structured class to go through for your high school student, yourself as a high schooler, whatever it is. We also have, you know, opportunities for you to connect with your friends and family that you've been away from, right? A lot of us haven't seen our friends and a lot of our family members for weeks, if not months. And so we have something called conversations where we basically encourage you to get on a Zoom session, a FaceTime, whatever it is. Of course, in person is ideal. Inshallah, that's an opportunity that will come after all of this. But for now, get together and have a conversation about Ramadan. What are you worried about? We provide all of the questions, things to think about, different perspectives, videos, things that you can really think about Ramadan in a new way and be positive and optimistic to move forward with that. And that conversation deck is just as applicable as it was 10 days ago as it is now. So that's something that's still available. And we have so many different topics. We have on the problem evil, why do bad things always happen to us from the trauma series. We've got so many different things that, hey, just come together, get on a Zoom session with 3-4 friends, 5-7, whoever it is, and just have this opportunity, this outlet to really connect on a very, of course, human level, but also learn along the way. So that's an opportunity to, you know, connect with, you know, people, friends online or the family members with you in your household. Of course, that is an ultimate goal. But for those of us who want to, you know, change things up, there's still those opportunities for both friends and family. And then finally, one of our other really main products that is so relevant, especially as we're all home today, is something called Yaqeen Academy, where we take our very long publications, 30, 45, 50 pages, and we summarize it in 2-minute, you know, a minute and a half videos where it's on our Yaqeen app, available for both Androids and iPhone, where you can watch these videos. And then there's a quiz at the end to make sure you retain the information. There's a way to challenge your friends. So it's a gamified experience where, you know, you can get your cousins, your friends, your family members, whoever it is, to see if they can beat your score after the number of videos you've watched, the quizzes you've gone through. So all of these just really different, unique products to keep you busy, keep you engaged, and really just provide an outlet for you to discuss any of your concerns, to provide those answers and hopefully be a source of healing in these trying times.
Jazakumullah khair. And so, you know, I think in conclusion, you know, alhamdulillah, with Yaqeen, we, you know, a lot of people just interact with different types of content as they come across them. So I want to start off with this. Everything we do is free, alhamdulillah. Whether we're providing an institution with the resources that are necessary or putting out a new level of media, or a new layer of media that's out there. I mean, some of you might have noticed, alhamdulillah, that our media capacities are growing. New curriculum, new guides, du'a books, infographics, animations, working behind the scenes to make sure that we're ranking high on Google for the top search terms on Islam, the app technology, outreach, holding hands with your communities, inshallah ta'ala, to see how we can help bolster your community's capability to address these times. Whether it's COVID-19 or otherwise, it's a full organization, a full experience, alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. We have a research team, a creative team, a marketing team, an expanded learning team, an engineering team, an outreach team, and a development team. And I don't think I missed any of them. So 7 teams. And when you support Yaqeen Canada, you're supporting the entire organization, alhamdulillah. So some of those infographics and animations, our creative team, much of it is actually based in Canada. Our engineering team, much of it is based in Malaysia. So our chapters are there to hold hands with the institutions and the organizations that are there to say, how can we bring Yaqeen to help you and help your masjid have the content it needs, your Islamic schools, your youth groups, your MSAs. But the entire work of Yaqeen, the body of work of Yaqeen, which is really bringing quality Islamic content in various packages, all for free, is because we feel so passionate about bringing this to the community. And alhamdulillah, we're blessed to be in Canada right now. So if you're in Canada and you're watching, inshallah ta'ala, you can literally click the donate button that's right under this video, and it'll take you to Islamic Relief Canada's page, which is an internal campaign for Yaqeen, where 100% of the funds raised today, inshallah ta'ala, will go to Yaqeen Canada. If you're joining from other than Canada, you can click the donate button under that, inshallah ta'ala, and make sure that you support the work that we're doing. And more than anything else, not just support with your donations, but support with your dua. We're trying very hard as Yaqeen to meet the needs of the time. And alhamdulillah, the team has been inspiring. And we're talking about a team globally now of over 80 people, alhamdulillah, has been inspiring and rising to the occasion and trying to do the best that we can. So please keep us in your du'as, inshallah ta'ala, and stay tuned with Yaqeen and stay in contact with Yaqeen. And if you're a community that's out there, reach out to Yaqeen and see how we can bring Yaqeen to your community and help you, inshallah ta'ala, as we never ask for anything. The donations are zakat eligible according to the Assembly of Muslim Jurists of America. And I believe that counts for Canada too. EMJA counts for Canada too, right? So zakat in Canada and America are the same thing, inshallah ta'ala. So, you know, please feel free to give whatever it is that you can, inshallah ta'ala, beyond your du'as and your continued support and collaboration so that we can help bring Yaqeen to the grassroots, inshallah ta'ala, in every way possible and to support in every way possible the great work that all the institutions and organizations and communities are doing out there. Dr. Nazir, do you want to repeat the entire webinar in French right quick? I know that's what Trudeau does, right? He jumps English-French.
We are providing French translations for Yaqeen content, so that's another thing that Yaqeen Canada is doing. And I just want to say on behalf of Yaqeen Canada, I want to express my gratitude to Sheikh Omar Sulaiman, Sara Sultan, Tasneem Al-Kik for joining us for this webinar and sharing their reflections. You know, alhamdulillah, the work that Yaqeen is doing is so important. There's so many different projects out there in the Muslim community that we can support. But if we really want to look at something that is an existential necessity for the Muslim community to survive and to thrive in the coming generations, we need to think about how we're cultivating individuals, how we are passing on the message of Islam to the coming generation. What will they understand of what it means to be a Muslim? So during this month of Ramadan, when we're thinking about sadaqah and looking for the most impactful ways that we can spend our money during the month of Ramadan, you know, we remember the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, kana ajwadu an-nas wa kana ajwadu ma yakunu fi Ramadan, right? He was the most generous of people and was most generous in the month of Ramadan. So that's something that we should be reflecting on and really trying to support these initiatives to serve the Muslim community, inshallah ta'ala.
Jazakallah khair. And also, last thing, mark your calendars, inshallah, for May 13th. Sorry, I'm losing track of months. May 13th, inshallah. We'll have a Ramadan Finish Strong telethon, inshallah, which will be on the 20th day of Ramadan going into the 21st night. And that'll be from 3 p.m. To 8 p.m., inshallah, sort of all day, where different team members will be joining in, giving advices, inshallah, time. Then we'll end with a dua. And I know that some, you know, look forward to those last 10 nights and getting that rejuvenation, inshallah ta'ala, in every way. So please do mark that, inshallah ta'ala, and follow Yaqeen's platforms. Jazakumullah khairan once again to our speakers and to everyone for joining us today, to Islamic Relief Canada for being our partner in this endeavor. And please support the great work that Islamic Relief does worldwide that's inspiring and that's so necessary as well. Jazakumullah khairan. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Right. Assalamu alaikum.